Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. Well, good morning, First Baptist Church. We are so glad to be with you this morning. Why don't we stand and sing this great hymn of praise? Crown Him with many crowns.
sing that again. Come thou fount.
Come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your cry, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing. Yes, come thou fount, come thou King, come thou precious Prince of Peace. Hear your cry, to you we sing. Come thou fount of our blessing.
Father God, this morning, we ask, Father, that you come and fill this place with your Holy Spirit this morning. God, our hearts and our minds and our arms are open. And God, we've just started this worship set this morning, God. God, reveal yourself to us, Lord, as the King and Kings of Lord of Lords that you are. Pour out your Holy Spirit this morning. Pour out your Holy Spirit, God. Flood this place with your mercy. Flood this place with your love. Flood this place with your grace, God. You are so, so good to us, Lord. Come thou fount and come thou King. In name we do pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. Friends, if you'll be seated, we're welcome. We're so glad that you've come to worship with us today. If you're participating online, we welcome you. There's some information on the screen, and we would invite you to connect with us through that way, if you'll take a moment now to do so. In the room, we would really love to know who's here. So if you would take a moment to tear off the worship registration if you're new here, or maybe you're new in the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's fairly new to be here, or maybe you've not been in quite a while, we would love to know and connect with you. If you'll give us your address, we have something to send you in the mail. And it's a gift for you, and we'd love to give you that today. For all of our regular attenders and members, we would encourage you to take a moment to stop by the end of the service to see some things you can sign up for to be a part of, and we would encourage you to do so together as well. Today, as we pray, we will pray for our Church of the Week and Missionary of the Week. Our Church of the Week is Bethany Baptist Church in Horton, Alabama. We love that church, love those people, so we want to pray for them. They are doing a great work, and God's really moving there among their faith family, and so pray for them and their pastor, Brent Rowe. Pray for God to move there among them today. And then our mission of the week is a mission organization. It's the North American Mission Board Missionaries. We as Southern Baptists participate in what's called the cooperative program. The cooperative program is where 40 plus thousand churches pool resources together to cooperate to do ministry around the world. We have the International Mission Board, which services over close to 5,000 missionaries all around the world, and then the North American Mission Board, which helps provide for church planters and missionaries and other people who are serving in that capacity in the U.S. and Canada and Mexico, and there's over 2,000 of those. Just to put a name to a face for you and how that works, as you give to our regular offering, we take a percentage of that and we pass it right on through the cooperative program. It's actually 10% of everything that comes in here goes directly to the cooperative program, and a decent amount of that ends up at the North American Mission Board. For 7 years, Lily and I were recipients of your giving, as you would give to the North American Mission Board on a regular basis, and for the special Annie Armstrong Easter offering every year, which is coming very soon for us over the next number of weeks. You helped make a way that we could serve as church planters in Maine, and what a blessing it was to know that we had people holding the rope for us all around the nation together cooperating to make that happen, and so we're so thankful. And so understand, it's not just 2,000 people, a big number. That leads down to individuals who are on the receiving end of that, that you are making a difference for. And so for that, I say thank you, but also encourage you to continue to pray for them. So we're going to pray for those together. Let's pray together. Father God, my prayer is that you would be with Bethany Baptist Church today. God, I pray that you'd bring revival there today. I pray that you'd move in power there today. Be with Pastor Brent as he brings the message. Lord, I pray for our North American Mission Board missionaries, those that are planting churches all over the U.S. and Canada and Mexico. Father, those that are serving in different types of ministries and settings, chaplains and missionaries of different kinds. Father, my prayer is that you would encourage them, you would strengthen them, and you remind them of your goodness and your grace today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand up together, and we're going to sing together, Death Was Arrested. Let's lift it up together.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. My orphan heart was given and unmade. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so
Never.
thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb.
Your name.
Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above them all.
All thrones.
All thrones.
feel like it took us a little while to get into worship. And I'll be honest, sometimes I feel like if we're not careful, and I love that we have a plan and we ask the Holy Spirit to lead in advance, but I feel like at times we can, because of watching the clock or other things, that we can rush things that maybe don't need to be rushed. And so honestly, I feel like it took us a couple of worship songs to, for all of us to get our hearts and minds at the place where they need to be today. And so I don't want us to stop yet. And so, Don, can we sing Amazing Grace? Would you lift that? This is just a time of worship together. Let's just worship for a minute or two together right here together. Let's lift it together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Can that be your prayer? I need thee. Let's sing it again.
I need thee, oh, I need thee.
Every hour.
Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come.
Father God, we need you. We need you now. Lord, I thank you for the time of worship we've had. And Lord, in my own mind and heart, sometimes it just takes a little longer to truly focus in your presence. And God, I want to be purposeful in my worship of you. I don't want to miss a moment. So thank you that we can stop and reflect on who you are and what you've done in our lives, that we can sing about your grace and your goodness, that we can ask you the great blessing to come, the King to come to rule in our hearts and lives. And so God, now I pray for the message time as Kale is going to open God's word and speak truth today. Father, my prayer is that you would anoint him. My prayer is that you would give him the words that we stand in need of. My prayer is that most of all, the scripture would speak for itself. And Father, that we can learn from this and grow from this, and that we would be proactive in what we're going to hear and what we're going to move forward in now. Father, I thank you for the people that are gathered together. May we not miss one moment of your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends.
Good morning. So good to see you today. You made it to the second service of Daylight Savings Time weekend. You got big shoes to fill. Only two people fell asleep in the first service. And so I think we should either break the record or do better, but let's don't tie. Let's go above or beyond, right? No, I'm so glad you're here. Pastor Chris talked to me a couple of weeks ago about trying to find a time to preach. And so I got out my uniform, the official preaching outfit of Abraham First Baptist Church, black and gray. It stays in the closet, and then on game night, I put it out, and I laid it over the chair last night, actually. But no, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to continue in our series that we've been preaching, Jesus Said. This is week 8, so there's been 7 previous statements, phrases, things that Jesus said. Here's what they are, just to give you a quick refresher. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, Jesus said, reach out your hand. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and not do what I tell you? And Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter. I was thankful Chris did the hard ones the last 2 weeks. So I was able to find one that was a little more encouraging, hopefully, to you, that gives you something to think about, maybe something to call you to, right? Each of those phrases had something valuable. There's conviction, there's motivation, there's encouragement. There's something Jesus says to each of us in all of those things. This morning's no different. We'll be in Matthew 11, and in the season of life we're looking at tonight, or this morning, today, for Jesus, it was right around the time that life began to change, or the world began to change around him. He began to see more rejection. He began to face more opposition. More of the Pharisees kind of challenging him on things. And I believe ultimately in the moment we're going to read today, Jesus was in a time of his life where he was a little bit tired. I believe the humanity of Jesus was a little bit exhausted. And it was becoming more and more common to have to deal with the things he was dealing with. And Jesus knew going forward, it was going to only be more. There was only going to be more. And in a time that I believe Jesus is tired physically, at a time when Jesus is beginning to face things they had not faced before, Jesus said, I will give you rest. At a time when the humanity of Jesus was tired, I believe he said, I will give you rest. Really, the challenge of Jesus by the Pharisees and religious leaders really begins midway through chapter 9. That's when they kind of begin to question some of the things and kind of make him explain more and more what he's teaching. Leading up to the verses we're going to look at, Jesus has met with the idea or the concept that John the Baptist sort of doubts who he is. In the early part of chapter 11, followers of John the Baptist come with a message and they say, are you the one we're supposed to be looking for, or is there another? And so in this moment, Jesus, who's spent most of his life around or near John the Baptist, who baptized him, is faced with the fact that one of his closest friends and family members is just doubting his godliness, I guess. Doubting who he is. Wondering, are you the Messiah? Verse 16, Jesus turns his attention to the crowd, and the heading in my Bible says to an unresponsive generation or an unrepentant generation. He begins to talk to the crowd a little bit. And we know he was fully God, but we also know Jesus was fully man. Again, I don't believe I'm going too far on a limb to say, I think in this moment, Jesus is a little bit tired. He's a little bit weary. In verses 20 through 24 of Matthew 11, he begins to denounce towns and cities that did not repent. And he lists town after town that should have known or should have heard the gospel and repented and chose not to. Chapter 12 begins with the Pharisees challenging Jesus on his views on the Sabbath. And in verse 14 of chapter 12, they begin to plot his death. And I say that today to give you the context of where Jesus is mentally and emotionally and physically as we begin to navigate this text. I believe he knows his journey to the cross will soon begin. But also think about what it would have been like for those following Jesus, right? And I told him in the first service, when I read the Bible, I tend to sometimes think about these teaching moments of Jesus where all of a sudden they ended up in a room with chairs in rows, and Jesus stood up and began to tell them things, and they began to listen, when that's not really the reality. The reality was they were walking through the city, they're walking through the market, they're out on the outskirts of towns and in villages, and they're walking around, and they're just having conversation. And I believe in this moment, knowing what they had just faced, knowing that his followers had just heard John the Baptist's followers say that we don't know if we believe, and hearing Jesus talk about how people are unwilling to believe, I believe Jesus sees the people around him and knows they're discouraged and they're burdened. And I think it's very possible that Jesus stops and finds the shade of a tree, finds a little area, and he sits down and lets the disciples and the followers that are there with him gather around, and he begins to say this: "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The moments of a master leader and someone who understands people greater than we'll ever understand, I believe Jesus saw this moment as a time where people around him were just tired and weary. I believe in his own life, his own heart, Jesus was a little tired, a little physically weary. And in the middle of rejection and turmoil in Jesus' life, Jesus elevated rest. He elevates it. He lifts that up. He brings that to the front of the minds of those sitting in the sound of his voice. And I can't help but wonder if in a fast-paced world that's results-driven, that's one moment to the next, one practice to the next, one task to the next, in a world that, if we're honest, there's still a post-pandemic fatigue, if some of us aren't at times walking around like the guys behind Jesus, a little bit tired and discouraged. Maybe discouragement in your walk with Christ. Maybe you feel not just more, but greater burdens for your kids, for your grandkids, for your friends, for your family, for the future. And for each person in this room who may feel that way, weary and tired, Jesus says, "Come to me." When Jesus says this, it might be the most clear gospel presentation and the most simple gospel presentation that Jesus shares. Because the rest of the passage, the parts that are good for your heart and your soul, all hinge upon this moment. This call to you, this invitation, it all hinges on responding to the call to come to Jesus. He says, "I'm the source of the blessing." Jesus isn't saying, "Come to my classes, 5 easy steps to a better life." He's not saying, "Come see a couple of miracles, be encouraged, and walk away." No, Jesus is telling his listeners, and he's telling us today, "Come close to me, the person of Christ. Draw near to me." And that call, that invitation to come to Christ, to come to God, is not a one-time thing. Going all the way back to the garden, right after Adam and Eve, they eat the fruit and sin enters the world, and He says, God's walking in the cool of the day, right? And God looks and says, where are you? And they say, for we hid because we were naked. And he says, how did you know that? And he says, essentially, come to me. And he draws them to him, and he fashions clothes for them. And from that moment on, all of Scripture and all of the New Testament and all of creation is being called to Jesus, being called to God. It's not new. So when Jesus says this, the followers there who grew up knowing the Old Testament stories recognize that. They recognize God's call to come close. The gospel is a call for us to come close to Christ. Now there's a select few people sitting there. It's his disciples and I'm sure a gathering of other people. But if you notice, he's not asking a select few. He doesn't ask his members, those who've joined my church, please come. No, he doesn't say just those who I've chosen as the 12. He doesn't say those even within listening distance. Jesus says, all who are weary and burdened. Maybe your Bible may say heavy laden. Maybe it says labored. And that image is crystal clear for you and for them. It's carrying a backpack or carrying a big bag on a journey. And at the beginning, it's not that bad, right? It's fine. You've got stuff, you've got supplies, whatever. And as that journey goes, it gets heavier and heavier, and you get tireder and tireder, right? Here's the comparison I made this morning. It's the comparison for you moms that this morning you got up, and you woke all your kids up, and you got all your kids dressed. It wasn't that bad at first. And then you got their bag together, and you found their Bible, and you found the three toys that were very vital for them to make it through this time of service today. And then you wipe something off their nose that was either theirs that they produced or something they found on the floor, right? Then you got all that stuff in the car, and you rode to church, and you got out, and you unbuckled all of your kids, and you got all your kids' stuff out, and you're carrying all that in like you're going to the beach. And then your husband says, will you carry my Bible? Right? That's the feeling right there. You're doing pretty good. And then he's like, listen, can you carry my Bible? That's where you are, right? That you've done it all, and it wasn't that bad at first, but by the end of it, you're like, he either needs Jesus or he's going to meet him. You know, I mean, like, that's where we get to. And I feel like that's what he's talking about. He says, you're weary. You're at the place where you're either going to introduce them to him or you're going to send them to him. And no, but Jesus is, he's talking to the person and the people who are just weary, who are tired. Like in all seriousness, it's that feeling that begins with college, right? And you're trying to figure out what you're going to do the rest of your life. It took me 20 years. You're going to figure out what you're going to do the rest of your life. You're going to figure out that's your future. And there's the pressure. And it's not that bad. There's things that are exciting, but there's a worrisomeness for the future, right? And then at a certain point, you maybe get married. You begin a career. And so far, it's not that bad, but it's a little more than you thought it would be, right? And then people start making you pay bills every day. Talked to a senior at the high school this week, and they're talking about being ready to grow up, and I was like, don't do it. They're like, why? I was like, every single day somebody asked me for money. And used to, I got to ask people for that. That's how it is, right? And then all of a sudden, there's kids everywhere, and there's clothes everywhere, and you're a little wore out, you're a little bit weary. And the problem with that then is all of a sudden, your faith gets weary. Because it becomes easier to say, well, this is what we need to get done. And I used to read my Bible in the morning, but now I make oatmeal, and I don't have that time, so I try to do it at night, but by the end of the day, I'm tired. And maybe I'm only speaking for myself, right? Titus loves oatmeal. But that's what happens to our faith. It gets a little bit weary in school and sports and all of those things, and we tend to long for days when life was slower. I told this morning, maybe, I told him, I'm like, I can't remember how I said it. I'm half middle-aged, maybe. I'm middle-aged. What? I'm 39. Where do y'all fall? Where does that fall for y'all? Seniors. Feels that way. See, the problem with my middle age is I have a one-year-old, and so it really don't work out. But I find myself longing for when life felt slower. I don't know if it was. But it felt slower. Like, I feel like things just moved different. And maybe it was less responsibilities. Maybe it's because I had them and didn't realize it. But I long for that. And I think the longing of a lot of people's hearts in the world we live is for that. It's for things to slow down and life to be a little like it used to be. We wish in some way we didn't have to carry so much. We feel like the disciples standing there overwhelmed. And some of you sitting in the pew right now are thinking, this dude's reading my mail because I'm tired. And Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. See, the rest Jesus offers us is help us overcome a certain measure of fear, of some anxiety, of some uncertainty, of meaninglessness that we experience. And we replace that with joy and peace of God in the very presence of Jesus. For the listeners of this text, most of them found the requirements of the law and the interpretations of the law to be a burden, to be overwhelming. And Jesus says, I'm not asking you to have an absence of work. I'm calling you to the right work. Your exhaustion, your weariness in this life spiritually, it doesn't come from that. It comes from what you choose to work on and who we choose to work for. In the current world we live, a follower of Christ who only chooses to work for self and serve themselves will find this life to be physically, spiritually, and emotionally draining. Because the source of our rest is Jesus. So Jesus' rest comes from the correct work, the correct burden. It brings peace, calmness, and it makes even the unavoidable better by the calling and the rest Jesus offers. So where does that happen? How does that happen? Jesus says it this way, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. When Jesus sees all these weary people, they're going through this time in their life. He says, take upon my yoke and learn from me. This is speaking to active and passive, meaning it's weary that we're active and it's passive that we're burdened. And so Jesus is calling all people, each person sitting in this room, it's either today or it's coming, that when that happens, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For the original hearers, again, that burden was placed on them by Pharisees, religious leaders of the day. They continued to almost create laws and religious requirements to follow God. And so many people would almost fall or fail under the demands of the faith, right? And Jesus comes along and he says, no, swap that for what I'm offering you. And it's crystal clear, the imagery. He says, take the work they tell you to do and get rid of it and take what I've called you to do and carry it. I'm not familiar with yokes. I've not used them much, ever. And so I looked them up. And you may know this, it's a curved piece of wood and it would be bound to an animal's neck and they would use it to connect to a plow or a wagon and ultimately it would be able to pull that to do either the farming or carrying goods and things like that. And so when Jesus says this, every Jewish man standing there has seen an animal pull a plow and struggle and fight against the land. I told him this morning, I think it's possible they're sitting there and there's behind them maybe a field and Jesus looks and he sees an animal pulling a plow and it reminds him, he's like, that's what you think you're doing and it's so much harder, but I give you something so much better. And in their minds, the Jewish listeners begin to connect dots of pulling a plow, growing up with their dad or growing up with their family working, and they begin to connect those dots to all the things the religious leaders are trying to put on them. And they begin to say, yeah, I know what he's talking about. It is hard. There are some burdens. There are some struggles. The demands are too much. And then when Jesus says, take my yoke, learn from me, he's turning everything upside down. Because he's just connected in their minds the difficulty of laboring the land and work and pulling a plow to resting and learning. And there's not a teacher in the world that day and time that would have ever connected pulling a plow with rest and with learning. Because they were contradictory. It is in our minds. But here's what Jesus is saying. Become my disciple. Learn from me. And you will find rest for your soul. That image is that you and Jesus are now together. And you face nothing alone. You carry nothing alone. You never grow weary alone. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's the comfort you have. And knowing Jesus, knowing the pain and the weight, the idea of a plow and a yoke would carry, Jesus comforts them by saying this. It's almost as if he says, but don't worry. I am lowly and humble. I'm lowly and gentle. Friends, let me tell you, the life Jesus calls you to, it can be challenging, it can be difficult, But Jesus himself says, I will be under that yoke with you. Not only that, I won't be screaming or creating unnecessary pressure. Jesus says, I'll be gentle and I will be humble. I will be meek and I will guide you alongside you. I ask him this morning, have you ever had the privilege to work in an environment where the leader, the boss, the supervisor was gentle, was humble, and saw the work? That no matter the task, it didn't matter what happened, you knew that person was going to lead and going to be right there with you in the job. And you worked harder and did harder things knowing that they were there, that they had your back, that they wanted to be part of the process, they wanted to make sure goals were accomplished. Contrast that with a supervisor at work, a boss, a whatever, who stops to complain or only add more work and you're already overwhelmed and it becomes a burden. Some of you have been in that in your current job. You've had bosses who maybe were challenging and hard to deal with, and it made the work miserable and a burden. And then whatever, there was a change, and you're doing the exact same job now, but it's not the same way. It feels like a blessing, and it feels like joy, and it feels like happiness because you found the person who is gentle and leads you. When Jesus makes these comparisons, that's what's happening in their mind. The Pharisees and religious leaders who may have even been standing near them. I believe they are based on what happens next in chapter 12. Stood in their lofty places, in their best clothes, and they made laws, and they gave commands, and they pointed fingers, and they made people tired. And I believe Jesus looks down, and he sees the exact same mud on his feet that they have on their feet, and the same worn sandals. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I believe in that moment, those disciples almost let out a breath. Jesus says, I want you to be holy as you can be holy. I want you to follow me. I want you to be sanctified. But I want you to go with me. I want you to do it with me. I want to be there for you. I want to go with you as you go. I was reading a commentary this week, and one of the writers said this. Jesus was saying, come, take on yourself the light burden of obedience under the covenant I will seal with my own blood. And I will give you the covenant reward of deep down peaceful rest, freedom from guilt, the power of sin, and self-striving. If you continue to carry the heavy burden of works-oriented, self-serving Phariseeism, you will never find rest. Perhaps you today, this is the moment when Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm lowly and humble, learn from me. I believe this is the moment that many of those listening began to see a difference. That just like in this room, when you can see people's hearts begin to get into rhythm with what Jesus is wanting for their life. Being lowly and humble, an easy yoke and a light burden was the complete opposite of what the world offers. It was the complete opposite. And I think they began to think Jesus is different. Jesus is special. Somebody maybe thought Jesus is the Son of God. Have you ever been on a team? Seen a team, been a part of a project where it didn't like it was going to happen. You weren't going to win, weren't going to complete the project. You were not going to make it. It was going to be failure. And then something happens, something clicks, and all of a sudden you see it. The light. We can do this. We can win. We can accomplish this goal. We can complete this task. And it's all of a sudden like emotions and everything changes. We call it, I don't know, momentum, right? Also, people begin to sit up straight. They begin to lean into their seats. They begin to engage into what's happening because they see what can happen when they lean into what they're supposed to be doing. Friends, when Jesus has come to me and I will give you rest, this is a rallying cry for your heart to come back to life through taking Jesus' yoke and his burden. It's Jesus calling you to the edge of your seat to lean in and say, listen, I see there's a way and there's a better way. I see there's exhaustion and I see that there is rest. And Jesus is asking them to leave what they've always known and follow him in freedom. Like I said, for them it was the religious system of the day. Likely yours is different. Maybe your faith is a burden. Maybe it's just because you got off track. And if that's the case, man, today you can come and talk to Jesus. But let me ask you this. Are there things in your life that you have almost made into a religion, that now are becoming weary and a burden. It's not your faith, but it's something in your life that has become so present and powerful. You can't get away from it, and it has become a burden for your life. Or something that's not even a burden, but it's just something that takes away from your walk with Christ. It's very easy for us to say in our country, we don't have idols, or I don't worship false religions, I don't have any things set up in my house to worship, right? And then the thing we worship has a tournament on the weekend. And the next weekend. The thing that brings us life crashes, and our bank account looks a lot different. The thing that we depend upon most is unavailable. The store's closed. The things are not there for us. And all of a sudden, those things that we didn't count as religious begin to affect every aspect of our life. I'm not saying you shouldn't support your kids and love your kids. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to make money and provide for your family. I'm not saying any of those things. But I am saying things in our life can become a religion, that just because we don't meet on Sundays with them doesn't mean that they're not a burden for our life in terms of our walk with Jesus. I don't have to go very far to find conversations with people who are tired. It takes very little time. And most of my conversations are with high school students. How's it going? I'm tired. I'm wore out. My schedule's so busy. I've got this coming up. I've got the future. I've got school. I've got to figure out college. I've got all those things. The pressures, you know what those were. Some of you experience those in different ways now as adults. But I want you to understand, you also don't have to look far to find rest. In these three verses, Jesus offers us an invitation and a promise. The invitation is, come to me. Come to me and you will find rest. The promise is, you will find rest for your soul. There's a hymn I remember growing up. I'm not going to sing it. I love the church too much to put you through it. But it said this: just a little talk with Jesus makes things right. Tell him all about our troubles. I don't know what happened that day. I think it's very possible that some of the followers immediately said, Jesus, can I tell you what's going on with me right now? Jesus, that was really hard for me to hear that John the Baptist is doubting you. I think it's likely right then and there someone spoke up. And in a few moments, you have that opportunity. Now, we're not going to do it in the big room. If you want to, I guess you can. But you have a moment in a few seconds to come and talk to Jesus. It's as if Jesus is telling you right now, face to face, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. See, following Jesus is not passive. It's active. It requires movement and intentionality. And Jesus is saying to some of you in this room, come to me. And Donna's going to sing the first note of this song, and your heart is going to race because you're going to know you need rest for your soul, and everywhere you've looked for it is not doing it. So I want to remind you before I pray and before Don begins to sing, come to Jesus, learn from him, for he is gentle and humble, and you will find rest for your soul. It would be really difficult if you sat down to lunch today and you knew Jesus was asking you to do one thing and you chose not to. That you sat and ate your lunch and you looked at your family and you knew you were weary and you were tired. And you knew Jesus gave you the path to rest and you chose not to. Heavenly Father, ultimately, God, I thank you for this time. God, I thank you for rest. As I've worked through this passage this week, God, as you've tried to speak into my heart, if you tried to get me out of the way so that I can take your burden, God, I pray that I do that. That I realize that it's easy God, I thank you for this church, for each person in this room right now, for those who are so faithfully here. God, we all have things in life that are challenging, that get in the way of our faith. And God, I pray that we never let those things get above the main thing. That God, our walk with you is always true. And God, in these few moments, as your Holy Spirit will convict the hearts of people in this room who need rest, who need to talk to you, God, I pray that they respond. Respond in obedience. Respond with movement. That God, not because it looks great to have a full altar, but because it looks great to have a bunch of rested, joyful church members who follow you with all of their life. We ask this in your sweet and holy name. Amen. If you'll stand with us.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.